I invite you to offer a prayer, something on these lines right now. God, would you make my heart attentive, voice of the Holy Spirit, be a willingness and obedience to follow Him and surrender my will to His alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you all see my table over here? Can you over there see? This pitcher here, there's water in it. You see the water in the bottom of the pitcher if I wiggle it around? This pitcher represents anybody that has come to Jesus by faith for their salvation. Because the moment we turn to Jesus by faith and believe in Him, we're a new creation and we become a vessel, or as God's Word says, a temple that the Holy Spirit comes in. He makes us new. Throughout Scripture, there's many different examples of the Holy Spirit, and one of them is that He's like a water. So this picture, where any one of us in this, that by faith Jesus for our salvation, you become a new creation, and you become a vessel. He comes in, and He takes residence within you. The interesting thing about our spiritual life as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a child of God, is that even the words we just sang in that song, Holy Spirit, breathe on me, is often words that we aren't quite comfortable with. Many followers of Jesus Christ have developed a phobia against the Holy Spirit. Many followers of Jesus Christ who have placed their faith in Him, who have become a new creation, who have the Spirit living in Him, and are sealed for the day of redemption, somehow have become afraid of the Holy Spirit. Now, many believers resist, quench, and disobey the one God, the Holy Spirit, who is to fill us, lead us, guide us, and do within us whatever He pleases. And when we are like that, when the Holy Spirit, represented by water, desires to do something in our temple, and we have this resistance, He can't get in. And we don't experience His fullness. We don't experience His power. We don't experience His manifestations. We don't experience the miracle working wonder of Jesus Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, within our temple. See, what many of us have done is we've developed this layer of protection. And we ourselves from allowing the Holy Spirit to do in us what He's meant to do. And because of that, we're grieving Him. We're resisting Him. Our effectiveness in the world who desperately needs Jesus becomes nothing more than a religious act. You see, the Holy Spirit has all these gifts, miracles, manifestations, and fruit He so desires to bring into us. But they're just there on the outside. And we develop this resistance to letting Him in. You see, here in Hebrews chapter 2, we have the first letter concerning our spiritual life. Those who violated the old covenant suffered punishment. You can read throughout the Old Testament. And we need to understand those who violate the new covenant can also expect consequences. Each is responsible to eat or reject the gospel message of Jesus Christ. But once the gospel message has been accepted in your life by faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and makes you someone completely new and takes this within you. He is to be the one that leads us. He is to be the one whose voice we listen to. But when we disobey the Holy Spirit or live spiritually adrift, there are consequences. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. I'm using the New Living Translation. We must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. If we live spiritually adrift, once we know the truth, God's judgment or the natural results from our choices are to be expected. When we have heard and believed in the truth, it is the truth that sets us free, for in Him we live, move, and exist. The truth has to set us free from the bondage of sin and death into the life of forgiveness and everlasting life. Verse 2, for the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. It cost God a great price for the redemption that we have, and we cannot live a casual life as a follower of Jesus Christ and not expect consequences. God bought you with a high, so we honor in our body. 1 Corinthians 6:20, verse 3 of chapter 2 of Hebrews. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus Himself and then delivered to us by those who heard Him speak? Not only was the gospel declared by Jesus, the gospel was also shared by those who witnessed His ministry in person. Turning your Bibles back to the Gospel of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Third book, New Testament, Gospel of Luke, first chapter, first four verses. Luke chapter 1, 1 through 4. Many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They used the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples, having carefully investigated everything from the beginning. So I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. You see, from the time that Jesus came as that baby in the manger in Bethlehem to the time that He ascended in Jerusalem to the Father's right hand, there were eyewitnesses who testified to the accounts of who He is, what He's done, what He said, and the power that resided within Him as the Son of God. Paul wrote in 2 Peter 1:16, for we are not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw it in splendor with our eyes.
Child of God, we will not escape consequences if we neglect our salvation. We have something that is so special, so dear, that cost God so greatly. And the writer of Hebrews says, don't live a life that's adrift. Don't drift in this relationship with your great Savior. Verse 4 of chapter 2 of Hebrews. And God confirmed. So Jesus testified to who he was. Eyewitnesses testified to who Jesus was. And now God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. Question. Has God changed today? Is it yes or no? Yes?
No.
Same God? Listen to this verse in Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Those who witnessed the ministry of Jesus saw him use miracles and the supernatural. Through the ability of miracles. So not only disciples, Luke writes in Acts 2, 43, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Then Paul also states in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, when I, Paul, was with you, I certainly gave you proof that I am an apostle. For I patiently did many signs and wonders and miracles among you. Church, is there any difference between the Holy Spirit in the day of the 12 disciples and Paul and the Holy Spirit of the church today? Is there any difference between the 12 disciples, I'm including Paul or Matthias, who was brought into it as this was gone? Was there any difference? Let's do this. Was there any difference between the 120 followers of Jesus Christ mentioned in the upper room on the day of Pentecost? Any difference in those disciples' lives than what there is today? Were they disciples just like we ought to be disciples? It's not a trick question. It isn't. Same Spirit work in their lives that works in our lives? Same God then is the same God today? Being a follower of Jesus Christ back then is the same as being a follower of Jesus Christ today? Why do we resist the Holy Spirit? God didn't casually show his love. Jesus didn't casually just lay down his life. What does the Holy Spirit live in us? We must let faith arise, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us and use us as he desires. You see, what it's going to take is for us to get to the place in our life where we're going to be vulnerable and remove whatever's stopping us of letting the Holy Spirit come and pour into us as much as he desires to pour into us, doing whatever he wants in and through us for the glory of Jesus Christ. We've never meant to be a vessel that just contains enough of the Holy Spirit. We're meant to be a vessel who contains the Holy Spirit in abundance. But see, we have this dilemma as followers of Jesus Christ that we have just adapted through our spiritual. And maybe we wouldn't say this publicly, but many followers of Jesus Christ, man, I'm going to heaven and that's good enough for me. I've believed in Jesus. I'll be with him forever. That's good enough for me. See, God didn't say, okay, I'll show my love and I'll send Jesus. Jesus did not say, well, I guess God sent me, so I'll just lay down my life for you. Does the Holy Spirit say, hey, I've come in, I've given you this new life, and now you belong to me. But whatever you want to do is fine. I'll just stay low. Don't think for a moment that we can reject all that God has done and live a spiritually adrift life and not be judged accordingly. Now, so I can clear up your minds, because some of you are thinking, Pastor's really pushing the envelope here. I'm a believer. There is no sin. I'm going to heaven. What do you mean I'm going to be judged? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We talked about this when we did the series on eschatology, but here's a good time to remind you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Child of God, there is a judgment awaiting each one of us. For the sake of, well, I'm just going to do it. Let's read chapter 3. I'm going to read from New Living. Maybe you just want to listen. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to spiritual people. Talk as though you belong to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready. For you are still controlled by your sinful nature, or the flesh. You are each other and quarrel each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? When one of you says, I'm a follower of Paul, and another says, I'm a follower of Apollos, aren't you acting just like the people of the world? Now, before we go any further, just so you think that he's writing this to non-believers, he's not. Why would he call non-believers brothers and sisters? He's writing this to believers of Jesus Christ. He's writing this to followers of Jesus. He's writing this to everyone that says, Jesus is my Savior. Verse 5, Paul goes on to say, after all, who's Apollos? Who's Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts. Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. Who does the planting? Who does the watering? What's important is that God makes the seed grow. Do you know how the seeds grow in our lives? Let the Holy Spirit have his way. When would you ever plant it? It's true. The seed is the word of God. The word of God is planted. It must be watered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave inspiration to the word, wrote the word, and plants the word in our lives. It must be watering the word so the word grows. Let's go on. Verse 8. One who plants and the one who waters works together for the same purpose, and both will be reaped in hard work. We are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. Because of God's grace to me, I've laid a foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one already we have in Jesus Christ. So two things here. There is a foundation, it's Jesus, and it's expected that we're building on the foundation as builders for the glory of Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Anyone who builds on the foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. And I might say some don't build. So they haven't even started because they're just drifting in their spiritual life. What determines how we build patient and lead the Holy Spirit in our lives, testifying to us what he's called and asked us to do? So verse 13, but on judgment day, fire will reveal the kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if the person's work has any value. If the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like some barely escape a wall of fire. Okay, pastor's understanding of this for us. It's written to us. If you're here and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, we have a mission to fulfill as the Holy Spirit leads it, speaks it into our lives. We each have a part to do. Getting away with just drifting from your salvation into heaven, there will be a judgment. On the day of judgment, believers are judged. You notice the works are judged, but the believer is spared as though through fire. Because the works are judged by fire. Tell me, if you are building works of wood, straw, and stubble, and there's fire to those works, what happens to them? Up! If your works are jewels, stones, and gold and silver, and they're tested by the fire, they last. They survive the test. Let's close this whole thing together and you'll see how this comes together with the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 pauses. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. For God's temple is holy and you are the temple. Stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you are wise by this world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the foolishness to God, and the scriptures say, he traps the wise in the snare of their own. So if you're just drifting, you're a fool. I'm not calling you a fool. God is. You just don't drift through being clever. We will be held accountable for our faith decision in Jesus and how we live by faith. Remember Hebrews 11:6? Without faith it is, what is it? Say that. Without faith it is to please him. For he who comes to God must believe he is. And that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. Seeking is action. Seeking is not drifting. Seeking is saying, come, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Take control. Speak. And I will obey. When we begin our journey and never let faith forward, we remain powerless. Faithless children of God adrift in a spiritual life. However, a journey by faith into the deeper life causes spiritual growth. And we will no longer be immature like children. As he started 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As he speaks to the truth in Ephesians chapter 4. We won't be tossed and blown about every kind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body. Ephesians 4, 14 through 15. See, deeper life disciples of faith grow into a full experience of their salvation. They long for more of Jesus. Now that you've tasted and seen that he is good and his kindness endures forever. Deeper life disciples by faith live a life filled with the Holy Spirit according to Phil in us. Hebrews 2:4, not us. Deeper life disciples by faith bear witness to the power of the Holy Spirit as a beacon of direction to the lost, showing them that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. When we live spiritually adrift, our witness for Jesus isn't seen or known. Deeper life disciples by faith are the testimony of Jesus to the world as the Holy Spirit uses senders to proclaim the good news of God's great love and salvation. Deeper life disciples by faith surrender to the will of the Holy Spirit, allowing him to work through us however and whenever he chooses. Deeper life disciples by faith have been created to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, filled, anointed, he leads, equips, and enables us to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Deeper life disciples by faith understand that we are a vessel of the Holy Spirit, and he is the leader, the gift giver, the ministry caller, the giver of manifestations that we are to accept by faith. When the Holy Spirit has control, deeper life disciples by faith become living, breathing witnesses of the good news to those who are hopeless and in need of supernatural healing of Jesus. Deeper life disciples live by faith as they surrender all to the Holy Spirit and follow obediently to his will. They don't quench the Spirit. They don't despise prophetic utterances. They don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So my question as we close is, why are many children of God resistant to the Holy Spirit? I believe it's the lack of faith. The Holy Spirit isn't to be feared. He only longs to lead God's children into the deeper life of Jesus by faith. You see, over the history of the church, we have this battle taking place in the bride of Christ. We have that from every outward manifest their own works of what they say the Spirit is doing. You know what I'm talking about, or do you need examples? Who wants an example? We have individuals that will come right out and say, I have the gift of healing, and you will be healed right now when I touch you. If I just walk past you and breathe on you, you'll fall to the ground and you will be healed. It gets abused. Do you understand what I'm talking about now? But I believe a part of that abuse the church has used as an excuse to not allow the true power and manifestations of the Spirit to work as he sees fit. We've put a barrier of cellophane between us and him. And one reason is because it's been abused. But I'm not going to let that ride as the excuse for us today. You should know me better than that. That's just an excuse. I believe the main reason that we keep a barrier between us and all that he wants to take place is that we're self-centered and we care more about us and our comfort than the Holy Spirit and what he wants to bring in and through us for the glory of Jesus Christ. Imagine this for a moment. Because this happened to me. When the Spirit is manifesting a gift, and I was too fearful to act on it, that I believe a life was lost because of my fear of allowing him to manifest his presence as only he can do. What if the Holy Spirit is manifesting the gift of healing in your life over somebody else? And you don't listen. And you don't follow it. One of two things. One, he's going to pass somebody else. Two, the receiver of that manifestation is going to miss out because of your disobedience. That's a heavy tone in here right now, and I get it because this is something I think we all deal with. You see, if God hasn't changed, If the Spirit is the same as He worked in the disciples, He's still longing to do that today. Do you guys even know in our denomination back, what's not that old, 130 years now, that we held to the manifestations and the works and the signs and wonders of the Holy Spirit, that we believed in it to the point that we expected it and we knew it. And 100 lost it in the Christian Mission Alliance. Oh, unless you're a missionary in a third world country, then the Holy Spirit can work. Brenda and I were having that conversation today on the way to church. Same Spirit, different dependency. So, what are we afraid of? The Holy Spirit is no one to be afraid of. Because the Holy Spirit is God, and God loves you unconditionally and only wants to bring the best possible into your life. I believe we are all missing out one of the filling and what He brings, and two, the filling and what He brings to the other person sitting next to you for our own benefit as well. See, there was a season in my life I was chasing after some manifestations that I really wanted in my life. I don't need to list them what they are, but I had this agenda because someone started talking in this ear, telling me something, and I started believing it, and it wasn't the voice of the Holy Spirit. And then I had a dear friend of mine speak to this ear and says, listen, the Holy Spirit manifestly in your life, you have the gift of prophecy. Let Him keep using you. Don't seek something else. Allow Him to use you as He desires to use you. Maybe He's speaking into your heart. You have the gift of a wordage. You have the gift of healing for another person. Maybe He's giving you a prophetic word. Maybe He's giving you discernment. Maybe He's giving you the gift of a miracle for someone's life. Why would any of us want to miss out on what He's giving? And why would we seek something that He's not giving us when He knows what we need, who we are? It's the gift perfect for this individual and for each one of you individually. That's His job. That's His work. Not mine, not yours. But to accept it. And that doesn't happen when we just drift through. We have too great a salvation to not let the world see a miraculous, wonder-working God. God's putting in you, some of you, the gift of evangelism. But you're too full of... Do you think He'd give you the gift of evangelism if He didn't know you knew how to do what He's able? Some of you have been too full of fear to even go on our prayer walks in the community. Prayer works. I'm sorry to tell you this. Some of us are too full of fear to even let our light shine outside of the church. You still have breath in your lungs. I still have breath in my lungs to accomplish what God has ordained through Christ Jesus for us to do. They're called good works. But guess what? We don't do the good works. We're the vessel in which the good works take place through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we really do have a choice, because that's the type of God we have. In Deuteronomy, He says, I set before you life and death. Choose. What will you choose today, life or death? You would think, wouldn't you, that everyone would choose life? disciple of Jesus Christ, he says, I set before you today the deeper life in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Your life. Father, as your word has been proclaimed this morning, every one of us has a decision to make. Every one of us has a choice to make. Every one of us has a confession to make. Every one of us has a place of submission to make. Every one of us needs to do business with you. As we invite you to come, breathe on us everything that you are. Bring to us all that you have for each one of us according to your perfect will. Take us deeper in the life of Jesus Christ. Stop us from adrifting through our spiritual journey. Give us a boldness to stand up for what we believe. Give us Holy Spirit power within us to allow Him to have His way with us. May we be vessels that make a difference every place we go, for those that are apart from the family of God can see the wonderful love and God them united with Him. May those who belong to the family of God see within us what a life that's set apart under the filling of the Holy Spirit can accomplish for the kingdom of God and the encouragement of the body of Christ. Forgive us for being drifters. Forgive us for taking advantage and disregarding the great salvation of Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Holy Spirit, for quenching you. Forgive us, Holy Spirit, for resisting you. Forgive us, Holy Spirit, for not letting you in. And come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and fill us. Come in your power. Come in your manifestations. Come in your gifting. Come. Make us alive for the glory of Jesus. We want more of you and less of us. Come. Breathe life into us. Revive these. Transform us. Make us more like our Savior. Make us more like the men and women of old. Make us exactly as you desire to do, for the praise and honor of Jesus and Him alone. Amen.